If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jude. As we go through the book of Jude, verse by verse, one chapter, but so much information. I think we're in our now fourth week in the book of Jude. I could probably go another couple weeks. God willing, we'll finish it today. I make no promises. But listen, God makes many promises, and promises both, listen, of eternal life and eternal death to those who reject Him, who do not believe in His Son, promises that will come true faithfully. Listen, this isn't a trick. The Bible said, blessed are those who put their trust in the Lord. That it's not in vain. That God says He loves you, He means it forever. Not just for today or when you're good. Because we kind of put God in a box sometimes. Like, I might not be able to forgive you for that, so I'm sure God won't, right? You ever think that way? If you only knew what that person did. And now I'm not sympathizing with the person or making it any less of an offense. But God is much more than we are. We're created. He is the creator. His ways are not our ways. As far as the east is from the west are His ways towards our ways and His thoughts as well as ours. So as we trust in the Lord, we'll see these promises come true each and every day as we look for them, as we ask the Lord, as we pray to the Lord. Now, I mentioned it so many times, but I just have to say it again. God is not the God of parking lots, but every time I get in a parking lot, I pray for a parking spot and somebody pulls out and I pull in. I'm just saying it happens, right? You pray and you ask God for something and then you forget about it, right? And then He does it, and He doesn't get the credit for it. That happens so often in our lives. Lord, give me peace, give me wisdom. And as time passes, we'll get that peace and that wisdom. That came from the Lord. If we really count the things that God is doing for us, wow. He would become more alive to us, more real to us. Why? Because we'd realize that He is working in and through us every day, every day. Now, when I went to buy the pork at Restaurant Depot, they have this packaged seafood section, and they had this packet of salmon or lox. Some don't like salmon. Salmon's, lox and bagels you have. So I bought it, and it was in a packet like this, really thin, about like this big, and it had this little clear window about that big that you could see the salmon in, right? So I take this home, and I'm trying to eat healthy. This is why I got it. Not today. After today, I'm going to eat even more healthy, though. I'm just saying. Just saying. So I took it home, and I opened it up, and it literally a packet this big. And when I took it out, the salmon was just about as big as that little window that I was looking through. It was like this much. Now, I didn't look at the weight. You know, obviously, it said what the weight was. But I figured if you're handing me a packet this big, and I got a little window, and that's showing me the salmon's in that, I figure I got about that much. It was like this much. I think it's a scam. And I fell for it. That makes it even worse, right? As a little kid, remember Captain Crunch and things like that? They'd have the special prizes inside, and you'd beg your parents to buy you that because you want the prize on the box. Guess what? There is such a small amount of those type of prizes in the box. You get something else. You're like, well, what is this? Why? So mom goes back and buys you another box. It's a scam. It's a ripoff. And Jude is warning us about these false teachers that are promising things outside of what God has told us, and they're empty. And those who would follow them may be very excited in the beginning, but at some point and sometime they realize that they're empty and fruitless, and that it's all been a scam. And here Jude is warning us about the apostasy, the falling away from the faith. Because we can gather every day, every week, pray to God every day, but not in truth, right? And those prayers and that commitment is useless. Why? Because He didn't ask us to do certain things. It's not within the truth of God, right? And so as we pray to God by the truth, He is the Lord, we are His children. As I trust in Him, feed upon the Word of God, I'll realize what truth is and what lies are. And Jude is warning us, listen, these guys were here before, They're here now, and they'll be here in the end. False teachers. He says, I wanted to write to you, but I found it important that I would tell you these certain things. To contend for the faith. Hold fast to the truth of what God has revealed to us. As soon as we finish this book, God willing, next weekend, or perhaps the weekend after that, we'll get into the book of Revelation. God revealing himself to us. And revealing the truth of what will happen in the future to those who did not believe. Now, it's not just the book about crazy things that we may or may not understand. It is about the truth and the facts that God has revealed to us. So God has revealed himself to mankind. How? Through his word. His son came and died for us. Paid the penalty for our sins, that if we would believe in him, we'd have eternal life. But if we look back in the beginning was the Word, in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and without him nothing was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. And his Word will last forever. Heaven and hell will pass away, but his Word will last forever. And so he wants us to understand truth. He wants us to know that these things, we spoke about evil. Where did evil come from? Evil came from when Satan rebelled against God and wanted to be like God, and a third of the angels were cast out from heaven. Well, this is why there's evil here in the spiritual realm, manifested in the flesh as well. Who were these people? These were angels that were fallen, that rejected. There was choice in heaven. Free will in heaven, right? They had the choice and the free will to honor the Creator, their God, or rebel. And they rebelled. And so these are the evil forces that we fight up against today. And so just to recap, he tells us to contend to the faith. Contend, Paul says, time and time again, hold fast to your doctrine, what you believe. Where did it come from? Who said it? Because there's all different kinds of religions out there that will tell you what you should and shouldn't do. They may have a little bit of scripture to make it attractive, but they may fall short of what the truth is, right? So how do we know what truth is? Well, we study the scriptures. We read the word. We grow in our faith with God. And so God's promises to the nation of Israel was to go into the promised land, right? He had taken them out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of death for all that time. They were crying out to him, and he sets them free now. He provides for them as they're walking through the desert. He was a cloud by day and a fire by night. He provided manna. He provided water. What's interesting is it was this rock that followed them, right? And Moses initially spoke to the rock, speaking of the striking of the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock, right? And then there came a time where he said, just speak to this rock. God provided them in their thirst and in their hunger. And he told them to go to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And there, I will fulfill my promises that I promised you. Listen, God tells us the same thing too, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but all you do, acknowledge him, and he will set your path straight. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. They that believe in me, these have the rights to be called the sons of God. Jesus' blood, sacrifice, paid the penalty for our sins. So if we believe in him, when we go before the Father, we're not judged for our sins. Why? Jesus was already judged. We'll go for the Father, and he'll speak about our works. We'll be rewarded upon our works, whether they were for the Lord or whether they were for selfish reasons. And that's a different teaching, but we walk in truth, and his promises are true. And so he promised them to go into the promised land. Now they sent in these 10 spies. Hey, let's go check it out before we enter into the land. You know the story. Joshua and Caleb were two of the guys. They said it was filled with milk and honey. Let's go. Let's go in. God promised. Let's go in. But there was 8 others that said, oh, they're giants in that land. We were like grasshoppers in their presence. We were so small. They were so big. We have fear. Now, what did they do? They did not believe in the promise that God gave them and did not follow the Lord's direction, right? So what was the results of that? Listen, they never entered into that promised land. A very few of their generation entered into that promised land because they didn't believe and they didn't trust God. When God tells you, this is for you, this is what I have, trust in Him. They didn't believe. It's interesting as we look at the story that the people listened to the eight men and not the two that Moses appointed. Listen, God appointed these two people for Moses, sent Caleb and Joshua there. He appointed them to be leaders. And the people didn't listen to them. They listened to everybody else, right? So Jesus asked Peter, who does men say that I am? Well, he asked all the disciples. And some said, oh, you're Joshua or you're Elijah. And others say, oh, you're the prophet. And he says to him, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Son of God. Now, everybody else's perspective of who Jesus was not who Jesus was it? And there's so many people following those other perspectives instead of the truth. Who is he? He's the Savior of the world. Yes, but is he your Savior? Are you going to be judged? Because listen, God makes the promises, as I mentioned before we started, of eternal life with him or eternal death to those who reject him, those who don't believe. Believe in the Lord. Pastor Ron has gone through Psalms chapter 78 on Wednesdays, and just I'll read a little bit of it. King David has this, Asaph was a Levite in the court of King David, and he's writing this to the music leader and teacher. He was a music leader and teacher, and he writes, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. You would think that'd be enough, right? You'd think if you show up to the seashore and your enemies are behind you and they're going to kill you, right? The Red Sea. That's it. Oh, we're done. There is no God. And God splits the sea in half so that you can pass through. You'd think that'd be it. You're convinced, right? That's it. God doesn't have to do anything else other than what I just saw. You would think that, right? He split the water, and it says that the water stood up like a heap. In the daytime, also, he led them by a cloud, and at night, by a fire. He split the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. And he brought streams out of this rock, causing water to run down like rivers. Could you imagine this? Just out of a rock, in the middle of the desert, water is flowing. These are miracles that God has done. Listen, the fact that you're sitting in the pew today is a miracle. Because number one, you're a believer. God has changed your life, transformed you from death to life. Or he's knocking on your heart today and saying, come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not an accident. It's a miracle. There are people in this room that have been addicted in all different kinds of things and in different ways their whole life. And God has set them free, broke the chains, and saved their souls. They're in the right mind, functioning now, walking with the Lord, empowered by the Spirit of God. That's a miracle. And each one of us can come up here to the mic and tell how what God has done in our life. So often we see his promises of truth and faith. Listen, I've gone over it so many times. We live in paradise right here. Paradise. Absolute paradise. Compared to other places in the world and other provisions that people have or don't have. And he also brought streams out of this rock, caused the waters to run like rivers. But they sinned even more against him. Now, we could sit back and say, oh, they were so stupid, right? I can't believe they did that. But what would you do? What would you do if there's peer pressure around you telling you, oh, this is crazy. If God was real, we wouldn't be in the desert. You ever hear things like that? Right? Because it's the desert experiences that we have to go through for whatever reason that God brings us out on the other side. He never promises not difficulties. He said things will be difficult. They will be hard, but I'll get you through them. Though the waters rise and the storms blow, I'll get you through it. They sinned even more against God. And they never entered, listen, into his eternal rest. They never trusted in him. I pray that's not us. I pray that we hold fast to the truths and the promises that God gives us. When things are difficult and we don't understand, my life verse, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I don't understand. He says, well, lean not on your own understanding. Well, what do I do? In all you do, acknowledge me. Why? I will set your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but all you do, acknowledge him. Lord, I don't know what to do. He will set your path straight. And you know what? There's a reason why that's my life verse, because he's done it time and time and time again. We just need sometimes to take an account of our life. Things could be really bad from a worldly perspective, and even in different scenarios. Things could be really bad in your life, but God is still with you if you are a believer, and he says that he will get you through it, that all things will turn out to the good for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. And so we might find ourselves in a bad spot. God is getting us through it. There's a reason. Trust in him. You know, when they were walking through the desert, they were complaining. Oh, remember back in Egypt we had the leeks and the garlic and the spices? That'd be like probably the last thing I'd be thinking about, but they were, right? Leeks, garlic, and the spices. They didn't remember the beatings and the torture and the slavery and the death that they went through. And that's what Satan wants us to do. Think, oh, it was so great. No, it wasn't. You don't remember those times you woke up with a hangover, wanted to die. Oh, I'll never do that again, right? Satan doesn't want you to remember that. He wants you to think it was good times. Why? Because you take your trust off the Lord and you forget the promises of God to live a holy, sanctified life, set apart from the things around us, set apart for God, that I'm a servant of the Lord. I may be working in the world. We're just visitors here, right? We're ambassadors speaking on behalf of the King. That's what ambassadors do. And we're telling everybody about the love of Christ. Time is short. Things are happening around us. They're snowballing around us. We need to hold fast to the truths and promises of God. When God says it, it'll happen. If you've studied in any capacity the Old Testament, there's places in there where they'll be mentioned a king before he's even born that will defeat someone, and it'll come to pass hundreds of years later. It'll happen. How can God do that? Because he's God. He planned out the whole thing. When we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years of silence. It was called the silent years. What was God doing? Was he sleeping? No, he wasn't sleeping. He was working out his plans. Well, the Grecians took out the the Babylonians were taken out by the Medo-Persians, and then the Grecians took out the Medo-Persians, and then Rome took over. Rome took over from the Greeks. So God had been working out all this plan. The Romans built these roads that now the gospel could be traveled along. And waterways so people can be sustained in different areas. God used it all for his purpose. And then the Son is born, the promised King of Kings, the Savior of the world. These things happen. They're not just written in the Bible. They're written in the secular writings too. Josephus, first century historian, wrote these things that they happened. The history of Israel has been written since the beginning. Now, we don't have every minute of it, but we have significant events. And guess what? Each second of your life was written before it ever happened. God knows the beginning of your life and to the end. He knows everything that happens in between. And listen, at the end, we win. Today is like the biggest day in time in some people's lives. Super Bowl Sunday, right? This is it. This is the biggest event in their lives. And it's sad to say that, but you know, they're going to dress up like clowns and cheer like fools. But listen, that's okay. I'm not knocking that. But not everybody's going to be happy, because someone's going to be a loser at the end of the day. There'll be some people that it's the worst day of their life. It went from the best day of their life. Their team loses. It's the worst day of their life. Oh, no, what happened? Circumstances changed their happiness. Things around them change the way they feel. And that shouldn't happen with the believer. Because no matter what happens, we have the peace of Christ that transcends all understanding to guide our heart, how we feel, and our minds, how we think, through Christ Jesus. And so we need to hold fast to the promises of the Lord. I need to move on because we're never going to get past this. So Pick it up in verse 6. Jude 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of this great day. So, once again, Jude gives us Old Testament and the beginning of times, which was this, of where this apostasy happened. Verse 5, but I want you to remind you, though once knew this, that the Lord, having saved Egypt, this is verse 5, out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Okay, so we just went over that about the nation of Israel going through the desert. Now he speaks about these angels, angels who did not keep their proper domain. They were in the presence of the Lord at one time. They followed Satan. And this is really deep. This is some interesting things here. Jude speaks of the angels who sinned and are now imprisoned awaiting future day of judgment. There's some measure of controversy of the identity of these angels. Number one, they were the original rebellion of some angels against God in Isaiah 14 and Revelation 12. And then second, their sin of the sons of God described in Genesis 6. So let me read to you Genesis 6, 1 and 2 real quick if you're taking notes. It says, now it came to pass, once again, he's going over this falling away of the faith, and the judgment is to come to those who fall away, who are those who reject the message of Christ. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And so there's a significant debate about these sons of God. Are they angelic beings? But Jude helps us answer this question. It says they did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. And their offense was connected with some kind of sexual sin. And we're not going to go into great detail. It doesn't tell us everything. Genesis 6, verse 2, and the human were human beings. They slept with the daughters of men in Genesis 6, 2. So we know that there was some sexual aspect to this sin because Jude tells us in the following verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these things having given themselves over to sexual immorality. So not to get in detail, but Genesis 6 speaks about these angelic beings that left their proper domain, their proper abode and slept with, we believe, human beings to create this demonic beings. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, listen, in the day of Noah, this is what was happening. These giants have grown in of these people that they're talking about. Why would that happen? Satan wanted to defile the bloodline of Christ. Remember, he was promised to come through a lineage. So it happened back then in Genesis. And then it happens into the nation of Israel where the Pharaoh said, kill all the firstborn, right? Why? Because they knew the Messiah would be coming and born of a virgin. It was prophesied. So Satan way back then wanted to ruin this lineage. And it says during the time of Noah that their thoughts and their actions were evil continuously. And so judgment came upon them and God flooded the earth. And you know that story. And so he's speaking of the apostasy, the falling away of the faith that happened in the heavenly places, happened here on earth, happens in the church, and may happen around you. Would you know if it was happening? Would you know? Well, the answer is you should know. Why? Because you should know the truth of the word. God tells us these things that are happening. And he said, prior to this, those who missed the first part of this teaching, he says, ungodly men have crept in unnoticed. And now these ungodly men who crept in unnoticed, how did they creep in? Oh, they were so nice. They were so talented. And yet their spirits were wrong. And now these people are in leadership. And now they're saying, oh, it's okay to marry same sex. It's okay to do whatever you want. God loves you anyway. We're all children of God. Now that may seem crazy to you, but that's what's being taught. And that is what's outside of Scripture. Okay? So God sets the standard. And so we know the standard by His Word. And so now we'll see, because here's what the emergent churches, they are saying that we don't know that the Word of God is truth. Can we really know truth? Well, is that true? We can know truth because God has provided us the truth, but they're teaching that. So we're going to shy away from the Word of God. You know what? Stay out of the Old Testament. That's crazy stuff. And Revelation, don't even go near that. That's woo-hoo. They must have been smoking paella back then or something. Peyote, that's what it's called. Yeah. Paella is the Spanish rice, because I'm thinking of food, right? With shrimp, and it's got clams in it, and mussels, and I'm just saying. But there are churches that are saying, don't go to Revelation, stay away from... Listen, the Old Testament speaks of how much God loved mankind and how messed up mankind was. And the New Testament tells us that he came. His promise is true. That we can have eternal life. And he's coming. We're living in a time of grace where God's not counting man's sins against him now. In the Old Testament, if man rebelled against God, he was judged. Boom. And if he obeyed God, he was blessed. Today, we're all blessed. No one's being judged now on earth for their sins. So when someone says, well, 9/11 was God's judgment against America, is that true? No. Why? We're living in a time of grace. There are people that'll teach that. God punished you. You ever hear that? Right? Oh, God punished you because you're sinning. He's not holding our sins against us now. And thank the Lord that he's not. He's calling all men. Listen, I'm not punishing. Now's the time of grace and salvation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you that eternal rest. But there will come a time where that door will close and judgment will happen on those who rejected him. Right? How do we know? He tells us. It's in his word. It's the truth. All right, I got to move. Verse 7, Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, and in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh. That's what he's talking about. These demonic forces going after strange flesh and set forth an example, suffering a vengeance of eternal life. Now, I'm not going to get into detail, but there were these angels that were with there in Sodom and Gomorrah that were there protecting Lot. So they had physical bodies. Having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange... Listen, God has given us sex. He's given us the desire for it. But just like anything else, man has perverted that and gone outside of what God's plan was for that gift. And so he sets the parameters in the marriage relationship. That's where that happens. And man in his perversion has gone outside of that, saying, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want. And this is what he's talking about. And the judgment had come. Now, verse 8 through, we're going to finish it, 8 to 11. Likewise, also dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. So a minister comes in and preaches the truth, and people will reject that. They're dreamers, thinking that they're going to have satisfactory from their belief and their walk, and they try to bring other people that way as well. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a rivaling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So the archangel didn't go up against this demonic force, but he let the Lord do it. The Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. So there are those who don't know the truth, and so they reject those who do. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things, they corrupt themselves. Remember I just said that? We pervert, corrupt ourselves in sin. But listen, now we know better because we've heard the word. If we're believers, the Spirit dwells within us and empowers us now to overcome that fleshly desire and then walk in the Spirit. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain and have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. So who are these people? We could read right through this. You ever read something and have no idea what you read? That'd be terrible to do that today because God wants us to know, because he said it, right? Well, let's talk. Look at these examples real quick. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Well, if you've been in church at any point in time, you know who Cain is. And Genesis 4:5 says that after God rejected his sacrifice, Cain was very angry and his countenance fell, and he became angry because he knew he was rejected by God. In a fit of anger, Cain murdered Abel, his brother, and then he lied about it to God. So they gave these sacrifices. God accepted the sacrifice of Abel and rejected Cain's sacrifice. We're not going to get into detail what that was. Jude says that Cain typifies a way that certain men follow in, the way of, listen, unbelief. God said, and it doesn't tell us how, but he told them how the sacrifices would be received, what God expected of man, okay? He told them what it would be like. And Abel did what God said, obviously, but Cain didn't. I'm going to come to you, Lord, and my way. I'm going to do it my way. You know the song, right? And that's what we want to do. We want to do it our way. But God rejected that. And it was the way of unbelief. And in our time, empty religion, our way to get to God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do good so God likes me. That's not the way to get to heaven. Pastor, if you only knew all the good things that I do every day. Every day I do great things. And you might enter into the presence of God and say, God, every day I did great things. Did you see that? And God may pull out a whole list and say, oh, wow, you did all those things. That's amazing. But that's not how you get in here. This is what counts, and your list of sins are going to be there. We're going to go in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom which is prepared for you. And our sin scroll is going to be empty. Why? Because it was washed by his blood. Jesus paid that penalty already. So you can be saved here and now by believing and confessing, and your sins were paid for already by Jesus. If you die and you don't believe and receive, then you're going to pay that penalty for eternity. That is the promises of God, right? He promises eternal life and he promises eternal death to those who don't believe. So the way of Cain is those who empty religion. I'll speed through this. Those who want to go in the presence of God on their own behalf. There's some stories in the Old Testament where these two guys went in with this strange fire and God just boop, incinerated them right at the altar. They did it on their own, the way they wanted to come to God, right? Or have greedily in error of the way of Balaam for profit. So Balaam's story is in Numbers 22. And during the time of Exodus, Israel advanced to the land of Moab after defeating the Amorites. And when the Israelites came near, King Balak in Moab sought the help of this prophet Balaam. So God told Balaam what to tell them, just to go a little faster. But Balaam was greedy. Balaam wanted it himself. And so he told false truths or false lies to them, and God judged them. That's just a quick paraphrase. So because of their sin, God did curse Israel, and he brought a plague of judgment upon Israel that killed 24,000. Therefore, Balaam was guilty of the greatest sins, deliberately leading others into sin. This is what Balaam did. He didn't bring what God told them to tell the people. He told them what he wanted to, so that because he was greedy, he wanted money. That was the way of Balaam. And the rebellion of Korah is also in Numbers 16. Once again, deception. I won't get into it. We're running out of time. Deception and lies. And they were judged. All three of these men were judged. And it's interesting. These three men came from quite different backgrounds. Cain was a farmer. Balaam was a prophet. And Korah was a leader in Israel. But apostasy is never confined to one group of people. Never confined to one group of people. Be careful not to say everything's from God. Oh, that's from God. It was spiritual. There are things that may look that way and not be of God. We don't have time this morning to go into detail. So when Jude pointed out these certain men rejected authority, they rejected the authority of God, and they rejected those God put in authority as well. And we see that in our culture as well. Then he explains to us what these men look like. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without rain, useless without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars from whom is reserved blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on them." We'll be with the Lord when he comes to execute judgment, right? After the rapture and everything, after 7 years, we will be part of that delegate there to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain an advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days and who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, once again, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. There's serious deception in the world, and often among those who are called Christians, those who are called religious people. They're enemies of the gospel who have infiltrated the church. This is who he's talking about. We said, well, how does the whole church go to apostasy? Because these leaders have led them that way. They didn't teach them the truth. Yet, despite the greatness of their threat, God is greater and he wins. And if we all only stay with him, we are guaranteed victory also. And Jude is a book full of warnings, but it closes with a supreme confidence in God. Dangerous times should make us trust in mighty God as well. Crazy things are happening around us, right? There's been this quiet deception around us in the Middle East. Just chaos happening over there, nothing happening over here. Why is that? There's things happening around us. And now threats are being made and there's things are happening. We've been tested with the last administration. We had our soldiers kneeling on ships as though they were prisoners. And our Secretary of State thanking the country that did that, saying, oh, they acted wise. They were testing us to see if we were ready. Things are going to happen around us. Don't be scared. Be strong. Strong in what, Pastor? Strong in God. Not the people in government. They are tools that God will use to fulfill his purpose. Trust in God. Verse 24 and 25. Now, I love this verse. If you have your own Bible, highlight it, circle these two verses. Listen. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now, while we're here, and forever, while we're with him. Amen? So it says that he will help us, keep us from stumbling, and present us faultless into the presence of the King. Is that you? Are you sure that when you see your Creator, that you will hear, well done, good and faithful servants? I have to tell you, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the presence of God. Because Jesus says at the end times, there are going to people say, oh, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. And their response says, well, didn't I do all these things in your name? Didn't I try to make myself good in your name? Didn't I try to enter into your presence by the things that I've done for you, God? And he's going to say, I never knew you. You never had that relationship. You never turned to me and received the gift of life that comes from the Son. And the Bible says that these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know.